Good morning, everybody. Morning Wood Radio coming at you live on this beautiful Tuesday morning, 7 a.m. on the dot. We have Lauren Weeks coming on the show, three-time High Rocks World Champion. Between the two, Hunt the Sheriff and Lauren, we're looking at six World Championship titles. This is amazing.
Surrounded that was almost that was almost a tongue twister for you. You almost didn't make it through.
I got to talk slow. Like,
remember when you were introducing Eric Murray? You were like, pop.
That was the worst intro. Here we go. There she is.
Wow.
Good morning.
Lauren, your face is glowing.
It shouldn't be. It's pretty dreary here.
Oh, you've got a little shine to you.
You're bringing the sunshine.
A little bit of sunshine.
Yeah. Are you still in Utah?
Yeah, I'm still in Utah. Nah.
So I was just going to, I mean, that's a good place to be. I really, really miss living in Utah. Like, if I could do it over again, I'd probably do my training camps in Utah, all of my training camps in Utah, instead of doing Boulder and, like, Durango. Durango was awesome. Like,
where in Utah were you?
I was in Park City.
That's beautiful there.
It was so good. Like, I was living this little bubble boy life where we were training for TMX. Did you? You did TMX, didn't you?
I did the last one that they had. Yeah.
Did you win?
No, I took fourth. Emma Chapman won.
Charitable Chapman. I love and miss that girl. Yeah, I was having such a good time up there, and the people were so nice, and I was blown away. Like, I was really spooked at first because, like, you hear all these rumors about the Mormons and how they're crazy, and they literally were the nicest people to me. They were always like the entire town was half Mormon up there, and they were just like always like, hey, how are you? How's that training going? You still getting ready for that event? I was like, you people are so sweet.
Why? Everybody is very, very nice. All of my neighbors make sure that I get my garbage out on time. They'll, like, knock on our door if it's not out the night before. So
in, like, a pleasant way or more?
No,
like
in a pleasant way. I mean, one of them is, like, a very old lady. So the first time she came over, she's like, you know, you have to move your garbage cans to the middle of the street. So we live on a court. Yep. And because it's not, like, a man done, they have a machine that comes in. We have to move our garbage cans into the middle of the street so that they don't have to get stuck.
And this is why I live in the woods, because if someone told me that, I'd have to flex on them. It doesn't matter their age. I'm like, little old lady, you're going to get it now.
80-year-old gray-haired woman.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to handle it. So
are you part of the cul-de-sac crew?
I'm part of the cul-de-sac crew, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if you know how this works, but there's people, like, will come in, and this is live, so people will ask questions. So if we end up addressing people that do not seem like they're in the room, it's not because we're crazy. Like, we got the Shizzes here, Gordon, Pate, and Jeffrey Basales, one of our biggest fans. So it will just constantly go on, and people will be asking questions. So we'll make sure to kind of throw them there at you as we go. But anybody who doesn't know who you are, I'm going to give, like, a little bit of an elevator pitch. I was trying to get some of the details on this. You, from what I've known, you've won the Spartan Games. You were obviously top five at TMX. You are a three-time world champion in High Rocks, reigning world champion. Are there some other things that I'm unaware of, like, title-wise, that you've won in our sports?
I don't think so. I think in terms of titles, that's about all of it.
It's a short list, honestly. I didn't
you know what
reigns
at the top of that list is a three-time High Rocks world champion. And I was giving you a beautiful intro. You weren't here yet, so you had to go back to the beginning. But between the two, you guys hold six-time world championship records. This is amazing.
Yeah, I got to be at that first one, or it probably wasn't the first one. The first one you were at, Hunter.
I think they had already had two at that point. They had, like, their inaugural one, like, the first one they ever did, I think they considered was, like, a championship. Then they had the 2019, and then you and I competed at 2020 in that little COVID bubble thing, which was really weird, but super
fun. Ryan, have
fun.
You ever been on, like, one of those curved treadmills?
Yes, it's very hard. I was sitting there on New Year's Day watching it wasn't a live stream at that time. It was, like, the recap, or it was the full video, but you guys had already recorded it, and all your 1Ks were done on that arch, you know, assault runner treadmill. And that's crazy.
To this day, the most brutal high rocks I have done. Like, yeah, that machine is very unforgiving.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like, I think that's the only reason why I ended up winning that event is because I literally, I think it's easier for heavier people. Just like my weight by landing was just dragging the belt. And
I would agree with that. I hate to use it as an excuse because I'm a smaller athlete, but I would agree with that. It is definitely.
You know what I was thinking about? That they didn't really specify the rules, but okay, yes, it was, that was the part for the 1K run. But were there any rules that said you couldn't use it like a skateboard, put one foot on the tread and just kind of like a bowl and just get that belt going?
You know, I never thought to try that.
I don't think there was any advantage there. I think that's a fantasy for your brother. Yeah, like I think you could push off to get started, but there one would be no value, and two, they'd probably give you shit and if you were doing that. But like I just remember Lucas Storath going off like a bolt of lightning on that thing. And then I remember the other piece that was like blew my mind was Sam Briggs came in and did 100 wall balls at the end. She came dead last, but yeah, she did 100 wall balls at the end. I was like, how did Sam Briggs come dead last? And then the thing that blew me up like crazy was like, she just did 100. I don't think anybody at that point at a professional level had ever done that.
Nobody had done it yet. So I think we were all just like jaw dropped.
Are you, you can do them 100 wall balls unbroken now, can't you?
Now, but at the time I didn't even think to try to do that.
I think you and I have raced very differently because I literally get to the wall balls and I'm like, if I'm not winning by the wall balls, like I don't train wall balls. I don't really do them very much at all. I'll do air squats instead, but I don't do the wall balls unbroken. I'm a pussy. Like I'm just like, nah.
I don't think you have to yet until like your competition is also doing them unbroken. You don't have to, where I'm in the space now where all of my competition is doing them unbroken. So if I want to try to be up there with them, I also have to be able to do it. So I just do it.
This is a two-part statement. You think the guys are lazy or I'm just really, really good?
I don't know if I should answer that. I think you could do the wall balls unbroken if you wanted to. I think you're in the same situation that I'm in that like if your competition was doing them unbroken, you would figure out how to do it too.
I could do it. I'm lazy and I cramp up and I just don't like it. Like last
season, wasn't one of the options. You didn't say I could say you were lazy.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's also – you could have put that in there. Listen, this is an open conversation. This is a free flow room. I don't want you to feel like anything is, you know, you're curbed in any which way.
That was option C, other.
Yes, option C, other. That's the last blank little bubble off to the side. So I really want to, like, I want to get to know you. I feel like we've known each other for, like, 6-7 years now, just seeing each other through competitions. When was the first time you kind of stepped into the arena of – like Spartan Race or any like the functional
that,
fitness stuff?
That TMX race was the first one.
So 2017 or 2018?
2018.
So we're going on 6 years of competing with each other. Well, I mean, in reality, like it's just, I have a whole list here and I got to really get it out of the way. Otherwise I'll get distracted. Like where did this all start? Like, are you a Utah girl born and raised? Like where was the seed planted called Lauren Weeks?
I'm a New York girl. Born and raised.
Long Island. Upstate. Yeah.
Long Island.
Oof.
Yeah.
I'm a Westchester boy.
But Utah now, we were in Vegas previous to Utah. I've bounced all over the country. I lived in Charleston for a bit.
South Carolina. How was that?
Beautiful. Really hot, but beautiful.
Dude, a lot of people are moving to South Carolina right now. I don't know what's going on, but like I've already been on Zillow doing like the Zillow porn thing, staring at
houses. I was there for like 3 or 4 years. It was already getting overpopulated when I was leaving, so I don't know where it's at right now.
Is that where you met your husband?
No, I met him in Vegas.
Gambling.
2020?
You're a degenerate gambler, and you couldn't help yourself. There's a handsome man rolling dice, and you said, that's my guy.
Yeah, I couldn't gamble, so I went for the one that could.
Yeah. Where did you guys end up meeting?
In the gym. We were actually both coaching at what's called Rhino.
Rhino?
CrossFit. Yep.
Oh, I know Rhino. I know, Ryan. Oh, have you been in there? Shit. Yeah, of course I have.
Yeah,
I used to go to Vegas a fair amount just because of the stuff that we were doing with Tough Mudder at the time. It was WTM. And Vegas, like, even though it's not a place that I would, like, frequent, I've been there for a handful of parties, and it's not so far away from LA that, like, we just end up going there. Like, I was about to go to Vegas this week, actually, because it's BravoCon, whatever the fuck it's called. It's like the What's Real Housewives thing.
I have no idea.
Augie, okay, this is somewhat like, if you guys want to know about my life, I originally started in fashion. So the person who's kind of overseen a lot of my career is this guy named Augie, and he owns a modeling agency. He also, like, I'm no longer a model, but he takes care of part of my career. And he also has this girl named Kiki, who's on the Real Housewives of Miami. And that's under the Bravo umbrella, Bravo TV. And they have what's called BravoCon. It's like Comic-Con. And people who are obsessed with the shows that are on Bravo, mainly Real Housewives, end up going out to this massive thing called, you know, BravoCon. And you get to, like, take photos of your favorite people. And there's, like, Q&As. And they all trash talk each other and stuff. And, like, he's obsessed with it. So
I had no idea this world existed.
I'm sure those same exact people have no idea that this world exists. Like, if we sat down with them, like, when I talk to Augie about what I'm doing in my career, he's like, what are you fucking doing? You're throwing a ball at a target. And I'm like, I know this sounds way dumber than it really is. And it, now that you make me say it, is really dumb. But he's like, yeah, well, I'm going to BravoCon. I'm like, well, how dumb is that? A bunch of people that pretend to be housewives and you guys are all going to celebrate them. So,
you know, I say that I don't know anything about it, but I bet you a lot more people know about BravoCon than know about Hyrox.
I'm entirely embarrassed anytime I hang out with these circle of people. Like, I'm walking through the streets with them and people are stopping, like, oh my God, really? Oh my God, I love your show. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, God dang it. Like, my business partner, Austin, is an absolute superstar. And we're going there and we have a booth at the Malibu Half Marathon, which should be my category of people. And everyone's obsessed with Austin because he makes people do pull-ups next to a van in parking lots.
Does that hurt your ego just a little bit that they don't know the chiseled jawline that is Hunter McIntyre?
No, it doesn't hurt my feelings. It motivates me. It motivates me to have conversations like this and do a better job to get the sports that we're doing to be more mainstream. Like, rather than being butthurt about it and being like, oh, I wish I had more followers, like, just go get the work done. Go expand upon Lauren Week's career. Go expand upon my career. Instead of, like, if Hyrox isn't going to film the content of the race, like, go send your own media team. So that's the seed that I come from, at least.
I saw you brought your whole media team overseas with you.
Yeah, like, I am trying to work with them right now. Like, that Birmingham race that we did, we had two full-time camera people there for the entire thing, and we couldn't get to over 50% of the event because they won't allow media people to go around. And I was like, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around, doesn't make a sound. And, like, when you say that to the Germans are like, this is not part of the equation. We have no rooms for these cameramen. This is only for the rock zone. And I'm like, damn it.
So they weren't allowed in the rock zone? Is that
no, they weren't allowed anywhere. I was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? So, you know, I'm working on it. So originally from New York, and tell me about, like, what was the athletic upbringing like? When did it start? What did it start with? Like, what, like, were you thrown in a pool? Did your dad just, like, throw you a pair of shoes and say, get your shit together? Like, what was it like?
Start running.
I think I was described at least as the kid that just wouldn't stop moving. My parents eventually threw me into soccer and dance and swimming. So I had done all those for years. But I'm the oldest of four. I don't know how many siblings you have. So by the time – four, yeah. By the time I had gotten to, like – I don't know, going into middle school, I had to start, like, picking what I wanted. So I dropped dance and, like, anything else like that, kept soccer and swimming. And that's what I kept going through until high school. And then I picked up lacrosse, was my third one.
Which of those was, like, the defining one? Like, if you had to, like, kind of, you know, kind of put a little pin on your shirt, be like, I'm a this player, what were you the best at?
Were you the soccer star?
In my heart, soccer. What my coaches probably would have told me, swimming
is an evil sport.
It's brutal because you can work so hard and you're not getting like torn down nearly as much as you would in another sport. So your coaches can make you do like twice as many hours as any, if not more, as any other sport.
And do you think there was this kind of thing, like the more meters you put in, the better you got? Or was there like a diminishing point for you?
To me, I didn't care because it wasn't my focus, but I'm sure my coaches thought the more meters I put in, the better I would get. I did what I was told in terms of that sport, cause it was just my extra. And then like my heart and soul went into soccer.
What was your event? Midfield?
What was that?
What was your position? Midfield, forward?
Center mid.
Mm.
One that gets to run the whole field.
Yeah.
That's a good spot. What was your distance in swimming and stroke?
So when I was in like middle school and then that age is more like distance free, like 500 for a kid that's distance. And when I got to college, it went to backstroke.
You did 500 free?
Mm-hmm.
What was your time?
I think low fives. I'm sure I could look it up for you.
Damn it, you should have came to HyberCon. I would have loved to see you bury everybody.
I loved that you guys had swimming in that first day. Yeah. I like everything about the first day I loved. I didn't like when we were told we needed mouth guards. That was where
you pulled it out?
Yeah.
And I'll just tell you the truth. No one got hurt. But like, it's the kind of thing, if I told you not to bring mouth guards, then people would have got upset.
Well, I mean, that's what happened in Spartan Games too. All of a sudden, people were pissed that we didn't have mouth guards. They made them like go run out and grab them from Walmart that night.
Yeah. The events ended up, like those combat events ended up being just like high intensity and tactical. No one got hurt, which I'm very grateful for.
People stick.
Like the level of capacity that you're at with High Rocks, that it's not necessarily worth risking taking on a challenge like HyberCon, because you know you have a championship coming up in like a week. But I think you would have done tremendously well. You would have had to go up against Warpath, but I can't imagine that you would not have taken the W on almost every single event on day one. And the day two would have been this kind of thing where it was like, you know, you have the experience with the obstacles, so that would have been very good for you. It would have been hit or miss with you on like the wrestling style events. And then the rest of it, I think,
just holding the 100-pound log.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the 2-day event, everybody came out with a lot of good comments. People enjoyed themselves while they were there.
Yeah, we had a humongous adjustment from year one. I don't want to talk about year one. It's an emotional stain on my heart. But
Must have been more going on behind the scenes that has given you this stress response to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, I'll put it this way. I joke about this one person who I call the Russian spy, who was like inside taking all of our scores and fucking them up massively. So when I should have been attending and focusing on like the flow of the events and making sure the athletes had what they needed, I had to keep on going back in and looking at score sheets. I'm like, how did this fucking happen? Like, who is the mole? Like, who is the person screwing up all these scores?
Did you find them?
Oh, yeah, I fucking did. And I told Austin, I was like, if this person ever shows up again, I never show up again. I was like, that is my rule from this point on. And we cleaned that up. And there was other aspects of it. But in reality, like, I'm just so grateful that year two is a totally different iteration of what we did. It's smooth. It's perfect. It was fun. And I would love to see you attend in future. But obviously, I understand why you didn't this time.
Are you guys doing it again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We finally have like the flow. Like now it's like, it's this like running business that has like a whole consistent schedule, has a whole consistent idea. We have partners. We have like an idea of how we portray the media, help the athletes, attain the athletes, measure the athletes, all that kind of stuff. So
do you like that weekend?
Do I like that actual weekend?
It's the same weekend that it was last year.
So what ends up happening is like, I don't know, this is a total different tangent, but we have to look at the schedule of what's available at the Olympic Training Center, because they're a total like business, and you have to book out fields and things like that. So we were able to just continue on and hold on to that weekend. They're like, do you want that weekend again? We just booked it immediately. Now knowing what we do and where we're going, it'll probably change, but who knows?
Yeah. I'll keep an eye out. I'm part of the email chain.
There you go. That's all we need to have.
I subscribe to your emails.
Yes. So your head's underwater for a long time. Then once you get out of the water, you're kicking around soccer balls like crazy. Did you go on to college as well? I don't know if I missed that.
Yeah, I swam in college.
D1, D2, D3?
No, D3. I actually didn't swim all of high school. I got to college and I decided all of a sudden I wanted to swim again. So I just went to the coach and asked if I could walk on.
Wow.
Were you a starter the whole season?
So in swimming, there's like no starters. Everybody races. No, it was a rough time back after taking like 4 years off. I'd put a lot of work in and I was not very good.
Tell me about that. Like, do you think that NCAA experience, like, you know, being a college level athlete was a really helpful and defining moment for you? Or do you think it was one of those kind of things where, like, I know a lot of athletes similar to your position where they got done with college and they're like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm so burnt out.
So going back to like when I was in middle school and doing swimming and it was a ton of work and all I wanted to do was play. That's part of why I hadn't done it in high school, because I wanted to play soccer. I didn't want to be just drilling myself with swimming. But when I came to college, like I wanted that structure again and I just wanted to be, I wanted to be part of a team. I wanted to be like just working hard, and not, like swimming was the sport that I knew I could do that in. So in terms of defining, it allowed me to have an avenue to like work hard and literally put your head down and go.
Appreciate that. I spent most of my college career, which was about a year and a half, getting absolutely wasted. Like, were you at all a party animal? Did you ever have that in you? Like, did you ever have a wild side, or was it always all business?
My party animal stages was in high school, and by the time I got to college, they were gone.
Really?
Yeah.
What would you consider a party animal? Like, you had like a twisted tea and you're like, woohoo! Or were you
getting iced?
It was more like the trying to be a rebellious teen, because there's so many, like, there's all this, I guess, what you want to say, oppression or something coming from your parental side. So I just wanted to be out doing whatever I wanted. And by the time I had gotten to college, I like wasn't interested anymore. I'd also like recognize alcoholism runs in my family and I wanted zero part of that. So I just like cut it fully.
Gosh, I wish I had that kind of composure. I actually really don't drink at all anymore, but it took me like 20 years to figure out that it wasn't valuable.
No, I've seen what it can do to people and what it does to the people around them. And I was like, that's not a path I want to choose for myself. I've seen it, what it had done to others.
I respect that. So I got a couple more questions here, but I don't know if you know anything about our show, but every single time about this time in the show, I have to take a pee break because I've literally drank so much fluids. You guys talk amongst each other. Do not judge me behind my back, because I will look back at the recording.
You should turn the sound off. Like, hit the mute button.
Bye.
Maybe so, not. Ryan, do you participate in any of the High Rocks events?
I do. Yeah, I was there watching you when you competed in Vegas, and then I was there in Manchester this year.
So you saw me as a balloon.
Yeah, well, I saw you pregnant, but yes, competing your heart out. Yeah.
Wait, where was Vegas? The second one?
Manchester. World Championships this year in May.
Did you race both of those too?
No, I did not. I didn't qualify at all. I was too slow.
Are you going for it this year?
Yeah, we're doing doubles. I'm doing doubles in Chicago, so I might see you there. I go off at like 8 a.m. between 8 and 8:30. My buddy Craig, he's in my local hometown here.
Well, Craig. And
Craig.
What age division does that put you guys in?
We are, we had to bump up because I'm older. 35 to 40.
How old are you now?
I'm 36. I'm 36. I had to check it the other day because I was filling out a form on Well, it was the weight transformation thing. So getting the body scan, and I looked at my age, and they asked me the age, and I was like, am I 35 or 36?
How old are you now, Weeks?
34. Just turned 34.
Dude, we're the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No big deal. No. So you get out of college. I think so too, man. I'm so.
So did you choose your college based upon where you wanted to go and kind of the activities and what the campus offered? And then it just so happened to be like a swimming school, or were you kind of in the background looking, hey, this could be a fun school, but then also they do offer a swimming program. So if I wanted to tap back into that, I could probably check in.
No, I wouldn't say that I was somebody that like looked that far into the future in terms of like, what is this school going to do for me? It just, it was like one of our, like we have in New York, we have SUNY schools. So it was like a lower tuition. It was one that I can come out with without debt. Like that was kind of where I was going versus.
Which SUNY school did you go to?
Oneana.
Where is that?
What is a SUNY school? Is that like community college that we call it in the Midwest?
It's like the Cal schools.
It's what they call their state school. So it's the State University of New York is what SUNY stands for. It's by Cobleskill. So like, oh, okay, or, okay. So like where
Westchester and stuff?
It's like an hour away from Albany and kind of where the Baseball Hall of Fame is.
Oh, okay. Then I had that all wrong. When you got out of college, like what did that look like for you? Like, because obviously there's this like big drop out of this presence of like defined and organized athletics. Where did you go? Like, what was your new outlet? Did you just give up on it for a while? Or were you like, screw this, I'm getting into triathlon now?
No. So my next athletic adventure was lifeguarding, which it sounds odd, but there's actually
lifeguards.
They have competitions in lifeguarding. So I lifeguarded in New York, moved to South Carolina, and then I kept doing it there. And they have like national and regional level competitions. So that was like my new outlet. We did pretty well. I mean, it's like run, swim, runs. We have paddleboard races, kayak races. It's something called beach flag. Have you ever played beach flags?
Is that where you lay down on your stomach and turn around and sprint to get it?
Yeah.
I've been there, done that.
I feel like you would be the picture boy for it. Like,
dude, what? Are you kidding me? I've got a speedo, dude. I look good.
I mean, it's you are wrestling while you do this. So like it's a contact.
Is it kind of like capture the flag?
So they take like these little cut pieces of hoses and they stick them in the sand. And uh-huh. There's usually one to two less of pieces of hose that there are people. So everybody lines up on their stomach facing away. When they tell you to go, you have to pop up as fast as you can and race to grab one and not be somebody that's left without one. But you're like allowed to wrestle people for it. So I don't think I've been to a competition where the ambulance wasn't called.
I really like, I think I fucked up and I think my parents fucked up. Like I should have been in a more physical sport. Like when I train, I think about hurting the people I compete against. I don't think about like, oh, I'm really excited to beat you on the ski, or like, I'm gonna fucking kill you. And like, it's so deep and primal inside of me. Like, I really love when we had Spartan games, we had to like fight and go.
We are so different.
I know, dude. I'm totally fucked in the head. Like,
I bet you a lot of people think that way. You should have been. Did you wrestle? You did wrestle, right?
I did wrestle, but every single thing that I did when I was younger was like something I did because I was told to. I didn't do it because I wanted to. Now that I want to, I'm this like entirely different chapter of my life, because anything I put my mind towards, I get it done. Back then I was like, I'm just going to do this so my parents don't bother me and my teachers don't bother me. So I didn't really ever blossom until I was much older. And it's like, that's why I was, you know, kind of asking you about the second chapter of your life. Like you got into lifeguard training. Like, was there this moment where all of a sudden, did you know that you had talent? Like, did you know eventually you'd become like a world champion or like a Spartan Games champion? Like, do you know you had any of this kind of like championship opportunity in you? Or was it just like, I'm just going to keep on showing up and whatever happens, happens?
So, like, after college, like, along the same time as the lifeguarding stuff, I started CrossFitting. And there was definitely, like, promise there. But I only had, like, what the rest of my city could do. Like, that's all I could see for like, a long time with it. But I could tell I didn't have quite the strength that everybody else had. But any time there was a workout that was longer than 5 minutes, like, I would not understand why people were lying on the ground dying. And I was like, well, let's go do another one. So that, like, kind of slowly started building confidence there. And I, like, gained a lot of strength. And by, like, 2016 was when I started, like, competing in CrossFit as well at, like, pretty high level. So we went to the regional competitions, which are the level before games. And I qualified for that for a couple years in a row. I just was never able to break through.
Individual.
Yeah.
That's rad. I mean, that's massive. Hey, just give a big shout out to Jared Barkay. Big fan of ours. He always shows up.
Where do I get to see these chats? So I press something.
You got
to
go over to the live comments. This guy, yeah. So this comments. Guy, yeah. This guy, Yashuki. If I were you, dude, I would invest in a skier above any other piece of equipment, and then a barbell with some weights on it.
What was he asking?
He wants to know. He's like, if you were going to invest in equipment, best all around, skier, sleds, weights, or rower, what would you pick? Like, what would be your piece of equipment?
I would probably pick weights over a machine, to be honest, because I feel like I could get cardio another way. But I also like the skier better than the rower.
Dude, I don't run that much. It seems like you run a fair amount, and we'll get into that, I guess, now. I was going to get into the training and nutrition section. I fucking hate running. Like, it beats the crap out of me. Like, my so calves boring. Right now, I'm rubbing my calves. I'm like, ooh. And it's because I think I'm fat, and my calves are just begging for mercy.
See, I love running, and I have to stop myself from doing the amount that I want to do because I don't think it would be healthy. Like, that's all I want to do. If I could do that and not have to worry about training anything else, I would.
Well, we're going to find out about all of this. So, yeah, I guess the first question was going to ask, like, what is your favorite kind of training? Is it just running?
Yeah, and not even, like, fast running. Like, I like to go out for long, slow jogs. That's my favorite way to, like, get movement and exercise.
What do you define a long, slow jog as? Like, 5 miles at an 8 minute pace or, like, 20 miles?
I'd say, like, on average 10, and no, like, 10 minute pace, if not slower.
Really?
Yeah.
You're fucking lazy, bro. I know. 10 minute pace?
Yeah.
What is that? Are you sleeping in the middle of the trail?
This heart rate training. Lauren, have you ever heard about Ragnar races? Sounds
like
perfect candidate for that. You get your team, and if you sign up with the minimum amount, it turns itself into an ultra.
Yeah, no, I'm really interested in the Ragnar races, especially, like, I think there's some in Zion, so, like, you can actually go and, like, see these beautiful mountains. So that's the one I'm interested in. But yeah, 10 minute pace. I go slow.
It's just because there's three people that have asked this already. People really want to know what your opinion is when it comes to shoes for high rocks.
So I haven't tried, like, the ones that you're wearing. The ones that I've so far liked the best are the Endorphin Pro 3s. But I do think that that's a personal preference. Like, it works really well for my body. I can't say that it would for everyone.
Lauren's only got three toes. That's what she's trying to say.
I've only got three toes. If you have a really hard time with the sled, those are not the shoes for you because they don't have the best grip on them.
Do you have a carbon plate in them?
They do have a carbon plate.
Ooh, girl got that carbon.
they feel really nice. There's a lot of foam to it. So, like, if you go to a Hyrux race and you're running, the floor is very unforgiving. It can hurt your shins. It can hurt your legs. Like, you feel it by the end of the race. So I feel like
it's just fucking hard slick. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not comfortable. So these shoes help with that. But they're not the best grip shoe that I've used. So if you already think you might not be able to push the sled, those are not the choice for you.
Dude, I know that I'm signed with Puma at this point, and I like I really do not want this to sway the conversation, but I've been racing in Puma and set all my world records in Pumas. I really love the Puma Deviate Nitro, the one that I have. It's got a carbon plate in it. I set the 56-minute one in a non-carbon one, and I set the 54.07 in a carbon one. I don't necessarily think the carbon was the biggest dictator, but the grip on it is so solid. It's got like this perfect amount of rubber, and it's got these little diamonds that come out that give you a little bit of extra traction. That's my opinion, but I think like everybody's got to really find a shoe that fits them perfectly. And like, she's right with the endorphins. Like if that's your shoe, that's your shoe.
How do you feel they do on the floor itself? Like, cause it's concrete.
The only thing I ever really deal with the floor, it scares the shit out of me, is there's just like water everywhere. And like, you just like slip like by the water stations. I love to drink water and like dump water on myself during the races. It might as well be like a lazy river over there. So there's a couple times where I've almost lost my life.
I wiped out once by one of those water stations and it hurt.
You took a digger? It's like,
yeah, like I went down really hard.
Did you hit your funny bone? That's the worst. You just like,
well, now I won't go anywhere near the water station after that. I won't touch it.
What I'm really trying to push for this season to see if they can get it by championships is like, we are at the level where we should almost have like a Tour de France type setup where we should have our own table and we should be able to go get our gear and there should be able to be one assistant for us that can give us whatever the fuck we want every single lap. It's like, we're at the championship, we're at the Elite 15 level, and you guys have this like little ghetto podunk styrofoam cup water station thing. It's like, level the fuck up. Like, it's going to help your sponsors, it's going to help the content, it's going to help the athletes. But as a German sage, it's not part of the equation.
I also think that when elites are racing, like men's elites go off at 12 noon in Chicago, and then women's are at 1:15. And there are the average Joe like myself out there running slow poke, kind of trotting along. You guys are obviously going for records. Myself shouldn't be out there on the same course as when, you know, you guys are out there like running for championships or like qualifying for worlds. I just think that they're, but at this point with all the added
budget,
yeah, they just got to have it at the same time for time's sake. But it goes from 8 a.m. to like people are going off at 6 p.m. with all the Go Rock and relay divisions.
Yeah, I get the like on the open level stuff, like, but for championship level, no.
I think for this weekend we'll have a free course, but for the normal races, yeah, it's all everybody's going at the same time. It's hardest when they send a doubles wave out before you, because it just there's that many more people on the course and it's just difficult to get around them.
It's a mess. So tell me about like what's a training week for you like? Give me hours, days, design. Let's start with hours, because I just want to know how many hours you put in a week. Let's put this down on the paper so I can cheat and steal your stuff.
You can cheat and steal. It's definitely going to depend on like where we are in the season, but I'd say like on average about 20.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What does that look like? What are you doing?
What am I doing? Do you know how long it takes to run 10 minute miles? 10 minutes.
Okay. So how many hours a week do you think your point? How many hours of running do you think you're doing a week?
Oh, gosh.
You don't have like a Strava or something like that where you keep track of this stuff?
No, I don't keep track of it.
You're just an insane person that just allows this to haphazardly happen?
I actually switched to a Garmin this summer.
Do you guys have a coaching business?
Yeah, it's linked to a Strava, but I don't like necessarily look at the amount of hours per week I'm running, but I would say it's more than half of that. So I would say 11 to 12 of those hours at least are running hours. But again, they're not fast, so it takes a long time to do that. I've also seen that I guess a lot of people do like big bulk strength pieces in a day. I actually take it into smaller ones, and I do a strength piece almost every single day, but it's a lot smaller.
You do like the very typical CrossFit style thing.
Very, very similar to like a CrossFit style, like way to work out with just more endurance training.
Hey everybody, we're going to show up and we're going to do 5x3 cleans today. And then we're going to do some sit-ups and then we're going to do a little Metcon. Get out of here and get on with our day. Is that your basic life?
No. Once upon a time it was. But so now I just incorporate like a lot of those CrossFit movements into the training, just within the workout. So like, say I want to do a more endurance style workout, but I want like that explosive piece in it, and I want that feeling. So I'll just add heavy cleans into it. And usually it would be like a small number, probably about 3, something. Be able to keep moving.
I'm gonna try to show you something and see if like you think like this at all. Where the fuck is it, you mother flipper?
We've just hit a record for number of live viewers with our show with Lauren here.
Oh. There we go, Lauren. Way to do something for the team finally, Lauren. quit making it about yourself. Make it about the team. So like literally I track everything throughout the year via hours. I have like all these scores that I look at. I do like an overall test, and I from there run, like we were talking with this Olympic rower, like I run percentages off that all year round. And then I have this total upswing of periodization where I have this massive strength block, which I just finished. I did Ironman's into a strength block, and now I'm just going to crank cardio up until I piss blood all the way until world championships. And I'll try to kill myself. And if I survive, I will be the fittest person. If I don't survive, like I.
That's a really long cardio block. Are you not going to strength train or have any sort of strength blocks within that?
I mean, dude, I'm like rip shit piss strong for at least what we do. Like I can deadlift over 500 pounds every single day of the week. Like it's not an issue for me. And I weigh 215 pounds right now. And then you've got Tim Winnish, who weighs like 165 pounds. Like, and he's technically the second fastest person doing high rocks right now. So like I have to actually bring myself down. And like, I don't think I have the body type that's ideal for what we do. I think I just train harder than everybody else does. And I just kind of thread the needle, but it's very different. Like your style, it seems to be that like we're actually hitting similar numbers in volume. I hit about 20 to 22 hours a week on training. And, you know, that's mostly cardio, probably like 70% cardio. And the rest of the time's like weight vest work and stuff like that. But I do the same thing every single year, year after year. And if I just add it up, I treat it just like Olympic cycles. Like I'm looking for that peak on the fourth year rather than the first year. Where everybody's like, I'm going to peak this race, this month, this week. I'm like, 4 years from now, I'll run a 50-minute high rocks.
Is that what you're going for?
I'm going for 52 this year. I think, like, I've done the math. Like, you could run a 50-minute high rocks by running 505 miles the whole time and holding my pace on all the stations. I'd probably have to be at, like, 185 pounds and still sustain the amount of strength that I have right now. And the only way that I could do that is by losing weight and being like very, very, very designed in like not getting hurt in the process of losing weight and holding tension, if you know what I mean. So that's like taking a string and pulling it opposite directions. And what's going to happen is somewhere in the middle of that chain, it's going to break. So,
well, I mean, and it's not easy to lose that muscle. Like, I mean, what are we like 4 or 5 years into high rocks now? Like, my strength numbers are significantly lower now than they were when I first started because I've put so much endurance work in, but it's taken like these 4 years to get there.
I'm actually stronger than when I started.
Oh no, I've lost quite a bit, but I think, I mean, for me, I lost a lot last like 2 years ago when I was pregnant because I wasn't strength training as hard. And then coming back, I've built some back, but I've also realized that I don't need to get back to where I was. Like, I think I'm strong enough to do what we're doing in this sport.
Yeah, that's what I was like explaining earlier. Like, I don't try to keep those strength cycles up. Like that rower we just interviewed, he was like, we recognized that we didn't need to strength train anymore. We just put in more miles on the boat, you know, kilometers on the boat. And he said they would like attach hoses and stuff and tires to their boat and drag stuff in the water and just have harder resistance of rowing, but just more rowing. So, you know, technically you could do the same thing as I believe in our sport is like get very strong and then just get better at holding your style of sport. And for me, at least, I can't do all that running like you do. And I don't know if it's because my body type, my body weight, whatever the heck it is, I'll just fall apart. So I just do thousands of meters on the ski or thousands of miles on the bike every single season. Like, do you even bike?
Besides the assault bike, no.
That's crazy to me. Like, yeah. I'm doing 15-hour weeks on the bike.
No. I do supplement with, like, with the ski erg and the rower and the assault bike. And I
never also, assault bike almost.
I also I supplement with hiking, and ooh, incline walking. I use the Stairmaster, like
wild child hiking. What the heck?
Like,
are you part of this rucking culture? Don't tell me you're a rucker.
Of course I'm part of the rucking culture.
Oh my God. You're such a nut. You're just like, yeah, guys, I'm gonna put some weight in my backpack and let's go for a power walk. You're one of those.
Yes. Well,
you're a mom, so you got to probably, I'm assuming I'll probably become a rucker when I have kids, but like, you know.
They make backpacks that you can carry your child in.
That's what I'm saying. But if it wasn't for your child, would you still be rucking?
I'd probably still be rucking, but it's way more fun with her.
I get it. What about.
What's your favorite workout to do? You go in the gym. What's your favorite movement to do? Yeah, like. Typical day, like you don't have anything going on and you're like, you know what, I want to go to the gym and have some fun. What's your top three workouts?
I love a traditional CrossFit workout where you're combining gymnastics, some sort of like aerobic piece, whether it's running, rowing, skiing, and a weightlifting movement. Like, I love the combination of those three. So put anything together like that.
Very cool. I won't touch those a lot of the year. Beat the me Olympics? Up too much. Yeah.
Or the gymnastics stuff.
Like, I won't do typical CrossFit style workouts for a lot of the year because it just beats me up too much.
I'm still waiting for a sport that is similar to High Rocks but has more skill-based things. That's what I would like. I want to see some double unders, some muscle ups.
That's called CrossFit.
No, they don't run enough.
Yeah. Well, I told them a long time ago, I was like, you guys should do like High Rocks X. Like, I think they could probably do like 2 to 3 day weekends. Or just keep, hold the venue for 2 weeks in a row and then have like Birmingham High Rocks typical weekend with doubles and then High Rocks X the following weekend where it's like the same amount of running, but then they just compound upon the level of the movements, whether it be overweight or like complexity.
People and would be interested.
I think so. I think that once they get their business model down and like become more efficient as a business, like I heard that Dublin was like an absolute shit show. Like, they still haven't polished this thing off perfectly. But then they can get into that, and I bet you they'll do really well. I mean, I think there are.
It sounded like doing well Dublin now, was just like so popular that there wasn't enough space for people, is what it sounded like.
Well, this is the thing that I'm curious with you. I don't know if you pay attention to this, but the sport of High Rocks in Europe and UK is so much bigger, like a 5 to 10 to 1 ratio. That I don't care about racing in the United States anymore. Like, I don't have the same dynamic of a lifestyle that you have. Like, I'm just a dude going through time and space working out, but I only go race in Europe because you go to Birmingham, there's 8,000 people. You go to London, there's 12,000 people. You know, I think Dublin was one of these kind of things where so many people, and they haven't even been able to properly handle the capacity of the size yet, which is crazy. It's like the first sport that I think collectively we've done that's at this level, but it's all in Europe.
No, I do pay attention to that. And I see the direction where it's going and like how much more popular it is over there. And from a marketing standpoint, like, ideally, yeah, you should probably only race over in Europe. Like, it would be worth it to move over there if like this is what you really wanted to focus on. I'm just not in that. I'm not in that position. Like, we're happy where we are. Like, I have a husband, kid, like, I'm not going to take my family to go live in Europe because I want to chase a bunch of High Rocks. But if I was by myself, I probably would move to Europe and like try and like grow like myself as a business there and like make connections. And that's where you would want to be.
Yeah. No, I think it's the way of the future. Way of the future, baby. So tell us about your nutrition. Like, are you one of these kind of people? You're like, I have 3 rice crackers a day and that's it. Like, are you one of the kind of people that's like super dialed? Like, do you have measurements? Seems you're kind of lackadaisical with your training, no offense, but like, what's your nutrition like?
It's not not dialed. It's not measured, but we don't eat like things that are, we try not to keep like sugary things in the house. We eat real food. I know.
You're not a McDonald's fan, eh?
You take your,
no,
you
I don't make, I don't eat McDonald's. We don't eat out. Like the only like stuff we would get out, we like sushi a lot. So that would be like a,
what about the hibachi grill? Where they chop it up with the onion.
Don't do hibachi. So like we eat very clean. It's not, well, mine's not measured. My husband actually, like his stuff is measured.
What? Yeah. We are such different people.
Do you measure yours?
I've been measuring food for 8 weeks now.
I will start measuring my food as I start to lose weight, but I have not ate anything that's green in probably 2 months.
I have a salad every single day.
For what reason? if you can tell me a reason why you do it that makes sense, I will buy in. Like I have Athletic Greens and I pour Irish sea moss inside of my smoothies and stuff.
There's fiber in it. There's iron. Like there's tons of nutrients in it.
I get all that stuff.
I don't eat just the lettuce. Like I put the good stuff in too, but
it seems like a distraction from the most important thing, which is mass gainer and McDonald's.
Yeah. I don't have either of those.
I'm blown away. So you don't track anything. Do you get on the scale and see how much you weigh? Do you measure your water out at all? Are you like, hey, I'm really love carbs in the morning and like meat at nighttime. Like, is there anything that's unique to you that makes you
nutrition wise?
Yeah.
No, I don't track water either. But I have like a very good idea of how much is going into my body. I will step on the scale just to kind of see where I'm at.
Got to track them gains.
Just to make sure like things are not fluctuating too much one way or the other. Because if it is, then like, yeah, maybe I need to measure my food, but if it's staying like where I'm normally at, then I don't see any reason to measure my food.
Supplements, anything with supplements, like are you a creatine gal? Do you take beta alanine? Is there like some nighttime pill that you take that makes you super restful?
I used to take like quite a bit of supplements before I had gotten pregnant. And then when I had gotten pregnant, obviously I didn't want to take anything. And then I was breastfeeding and they say that you can't take anything while you're breastfeeding. So we only, over the summer, we finally like stopped like that breastfeeding journey. And I haven't gotten back on any supplements quite yet, but like I used to take creatine.
Interesting.
I take a lot of vitamins, vitamin D, fish oil, magnesium.
Okay, so you got a little stuff going on there. Okay. God, we are such different people. Like if you go into my closet, you go into my fridge, there's just like hunks of meat and like sugary drinks. And then you go into my cabinets, it's just like children's cereal, rice, and peanut butters and bread. And then there's literally two shelves of entirely supplements.
No, I have whey protein too. That counts as a supplement.
Oh, yes, it does.
Oh,
yes, it does.
You've been hiding things from us now.
I'm trying to
get the answers.
Yeah. But no. Well, you know what, Hunter, when you get pregnant, you will learn that you have to like cut all those things out and sometimes not worth reintroducing.
I'm going to take creatine all through my pregnancy. Don't you fucking try to cut me down. I honestly, I don't know. I mean, for me right now, it's part of my routine and it's been part of my routine for a long time. It's like what I lock into. There's other people that really love to track their sleep and so they lock into. Some people are like on the scale. Like, is there anything that is like one of these indicators for you? It's like, I'm on the path. Like I need to have this in my routine regularly so that I can continue to succeed. Like, are you a sleep tracker? Anything like color your pee?
Like, I mean, you have a Garmin too, like that tracks all of your hours that you're doing. And it tells you right there. So I don't have to like keep a list of it. And then it also tracks your sleep. So I can see every morning when I wake up, that like how much I was in deep sleep or REM sleep or light sleep. And that's motivating to me, like to be able to see that, because then I try and make sure that I'm getting a certain amount of sleep. So ideally I want 8 hours. Sometimes I get more, sometimes I get less, but that's like that's my goal standard. And it helps to have something there to encourage me to get that.
You know,
one treat, you said you keep everything green in the house, have a salad a day, but like what's your go-to when you're really having the craving? Do you eat like Napoleon ice cream?
Please say Mad Dog 2020.
I'd say we are like more of a cookie type of house.
You're naughty.
Yeah, we kind of kicked ice cream out a couple months ago.
So. What?
Yeah,
ice cream.
Ben and Jerry's specifically, or just all ice cream?
Just all ice cream.
Oh my god! What about
the cookie dough or the moose tracks?
Oh,
mint.
So I mean, I love ice cream.
Who hurt you?
Who hurt me? So this is a household. There's more than just me in here. And like,
is the baby who's calling these shots?
No, but like my husband has been very dedicated to like tracking his stuff and like in support. I'm not going to like bring something into the house that he's trying not to eat. So it just kind of isn't there anymore, which by the way, he's down 30 pounds. So
damn, is he like Ripley Peterson or does he look like a bean pole?
I'd go with the first.
Ripley Peterson.
Yeah.
I like that. That's awesome. I mean, is he a fitness junkie too, or was he just a gambling guy?
Just gambling.
I like that, dude. A man who can roll dice will turn a lady on.
No, we met coaching.
Yeah, I know. But some people, you know those guys who are just kind of like the fat coach? I'm not saying your husband's fat, but they're just kind of the dude who doesn't really work out at all and tells everybody what to do to work out. He could have just been one of those guys.
Coach for KFC.
No, so his, I mean, he has a lot more like certifications and knowledge in terms of like the athletic and coaching field than I do. Like he's also comes from a wrestling background. He's got, I don't even know how many certifications he's got, his like CrossFit L3. So
is he a coach? Is that like his like main business? I thought he was out there doing some kind of like engineering thing.
He's an engineer.
See, I remember.
Yeah. But that engineer brain, everybody's like so upset. They're obsessed with like numbers and data. So you ask me a lot of these questions, asking whether or not I track them. Just because I don't personally track them doesn't mean that they're not getting tracked. So
by somebody else. It's
the food's being placed in front of you.
We know. You're pretending like, I don't know how this food got here and all these specific little boxes and measured and weighed out. Oops.
Oh, well, not food, but like workout hours. I'm sure he knows. He knows like every time I've done for any sort of event, any PR I've had for a lift or a workout or whatever it is.
Interesting. So there's a big elephant in the room. We got to know about like the transition from being like just a chick to like a mother. What was that like? I mean, I can't even fathom the transition, but like you were a beast and then you had to build something inside of you and then you continued to race through it. And then you had a child and you came back and put the Baltimore beat down on the world at World Championships this year. So like, what was that like? What is it like now?
Well, racing through it, it just in my head, I felt like I still could race and I felt like I could still be somewhat competitive. So I wanted to, just to see. And then like towards the end, having the birth, like it was rough in the beginning, like first 3 months for any, if there's, you probably have a mostly male audience, but for any of the females that might be listening, like it's, I mean, there's tons of hormones. There's a lot going on. You don't realize like all the extra things that you would have never thought about. I didn't realize how draining breastfeeding was going to be. So it was rough those like first 3 months, but like once I got past that, like things kind of started to not feel like the world was coming down on me.
Did you do a lot of sleep training? get the bit. My sister's on that like to the T. It hits a certain time and there's no variation from when it's bedtime.
The baby goes in the box.
Yes.
No, we had a really rough time with her sleeping through like 8 months. And then the doctor told us to just like, because I was co-sleeping with her because she didn't want to be by herself. Doctor told us to just put her in her crib. And we did, and it like wasn't working. Turns out, if anybody needs a nightlight with stars that go on the ceiling, was our saving grace. All of a sudden, she started sleeping through the night.
I need to get one of those then.
Yeah.
Will it help us?
I get scared. I'm like, oh, there's the stars.
So yeah, no sleep training we didn't do, and it didn't. We weren't sleeping until she turned like 8 months.
Was it hard for you knowing that, like, obviously you wanted to have a child, so like you had to make that decision, that sacrifice, but like you're watching the world kind of just like continue forward and you're having to hold back. And like you had just been the world champion prior that year and you were having to like let go of part of your identity and just accept that part of your life. Like how hard was that, or was that not even consideration?
No, I'd say the only consideration for that was like, I think that year the like prize purse was $16,000 and I was still in school. So like, if I could have won that, which was like not going to happen, it would have really helped towards tuition.
I guess just because we're on this note, like before I forget, I do want to continue talking about the mother piece, but I will forget. What has your life been like competing at such a high level in such a low paying sport? Like, what has that been like for you? Because I think I made $19,000 in total competing last year, and I probably spent around $40,000 on flights.
Mm-hmm. Did you really?
Fuck, dude. I go across to Europe all the time. Well, you got to understand, it's 11 hours for me to get over there. And I am literally going back and forth. And when I get there, it's not like, oh, hey, guys, I'm going to go to the spa. Like, I work like a fucking dog all the way through, working on business, appearances, everything. So by the time I get there, I want to be rested. I only take red eyes. So I sleep through the night, get up, wake up, start working. And when I come home, I've got like hemorrhoids and tumors in my head from working too hard. And I like just like I'm like, I'm going to sit in this business class seat and I'm going to have a glass of wine and I'm going to forget about all this stress I just went through. But yeah, like I go across the world half a dozen to 10 times. And yeah, and then that doesn't even include all the national travel that I do.
I don't understand how you make that work, to be honest.
Cost wise?
Yeah.
Because I work like a fucking dog. I think everybody just thinks that I'm up here just like, you know, watching cartoons and eating chicken nuggets. Like we work like crazy. Ryan runs a lot of the operations of what we do. We have five staff underneath the company. We're doing the training company, the supplement company. We have our media company, which we run podcasts with. And we also do content for partnerships. And like, I mean, there's just a million moving pieces. Like Hyrox obviously is the platform that I stand on to distribute myself, but it's not anything I make money off of. Like $19,000 is literally gone in a week. And it's crazy. I mean, I'm curious, like obviously we have a different style of like living, competing and approaching this thing. That was my curiosity for you. Like, hey, like this year, I think we did the math. Like you have the potential, if you won everything, making like 70 grand. Like, how do you make money if you want everything? That's 70 grand's a decent amount of money. Like, how do you get paid? Like, how do you survive the amount of 20 hours is half of somebody's work week, but you're also probably you're being a mother. Are you an
Amazon driver at nights?
Yeah. How do you make your cash?
So, I mean, I'm in a privileged position. Like when I started, like what did we win? Like 2,500 for winning world 20. Championships. So it was nothing.
So much. Watch out, bitch.
And my full-time job was coaching. When we moved to Salt Lake, like I went back to school and it was full-time for nursing. And I graduated like right after I had given birth. But I also have a partner, which is why I'm saying I'm in a privileged position. So like I can make what I can right now through Hyrox and our training platform, but it's not just me. Like I have somebody else there to help me. Like not everybody else, you're not in that privileged position where there's like somebody else there that you can fall back on if it's
could
not
that
going
be
well.
The hybrid engine?
Yes.
Your husband's writing in. He said that he's behind. He doesn't gamble, but he did win your first date based on a bet.
Yeah.
Oh,
the gambling man. The truth comes out. Roll that dice, daddy.
That is true.
Yeah. That's awesome. Sounds like you've got a really good unit going on there. Have you had stress about the financial kind of ramifications of being so involved in something that pays so little?
Maybe previously. I think like we're in a better position now, but like when I was in school and then like this is what I was using to pay for that tuition, like it was significantly harder. But like now that I've graduated, I don't have that extra stress. So no, I would say we're in a much better position now. But
see, what I did is I skipped like getting educated and I didn't have to pay for it.
It's expensive. Yeah. It was really expensive. And then when there's some companies out there that like you thought you could use whatever you want to pay for like that next semester's tuition and they don't pay for 9 months or so, it's rough.
Are you talking about companies that you raced for and then never paid you?
Some of it came in. I guess not all of it, yeah.
Are you – is it rhyme with Arten?
I'm on their ass weekly.
Dude, I'll tell you some stories. My dad literally when Tough Mudder wasn't paying me, my dad wrote them, was like, listen, I run a media company. And I was like, he's like, I'm going to fucking wreck you guys. I'm going to lambaste you. He's like, I will sit in your lobby and I will heckle you as you walk in until you pay my son. My dad was literally my pit bull, my bulldog, my greatest confidant. Like,
did it work?
Oh, yeah. They paid me right away. Hyrox, literally, as soon as I get done with my race, Hyrox pays me because they just know that I'm a dog that you don't want to fight with. Like, we will just roast you every which way possible.
I was emailing one guy, and then I was told to email this other girl, an accountant, and then it was just Tuesday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We got it.
We go to war. Huh. Daddy got to make that paper. But, I mean, that's cool. I mean, are you going to go for the full Monty this year? Like, obviously – how many of the championship races are you going to go for? Are you going for the world title again? Like, what are some of your ambitions with this season?
I'm definitely doing the first two. So I'm going to do Chicago and Sweden.
You're coming to Stockholm?
Yeah.
What?
Are you going?
Yeah, of course I am. I got to find my Swedish queen.
All right.
I've got that in line. I think my mom's going to come. So if you want to go out to dinner, I don't know if you party.
I'm bringing a whole family. Me, my husband, my daughter, my mother-in-law. We're spending time in Sweden.
I say we have like a big traditional potluck type meal.
Yeah. I expect it to be cold, but we want to explore. So we extended that trip. We'll be there for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's super rad. So you're going to do those first two and then what? You're going to disappear. You're going to go back into the depths of Utah.
I'll go back into the depths of the Utah. I'm just not sure about whether I'm going to race the second two. I would like to, but I'm not 100% committed to them. I'm hoping to, within these first two, get one of those qualifying spots and not have to worry about it.
Don't be lazy, Lauren. All right. You are the prior champion, but that doesn't mean shit now. You got to show up. And these girls are getting feisty.
Everybody's very fast, but,
who's your greatest threat?
It's kind of hard to pick one because like there's obviously people that they think like they'll like try and say like myself, Michaela and Meg are up there, but I just really think people are sleeping on Vivian. I have
what's that girl, Belle?
Yes, Belle as well, but I don't think she's coming to the earlier races. And if I don't go to the later ones, I might not see her.
I don't really know anything about Vivian. She's just like a tank?
Yeah, she is like an incredible athlete that's just quiet. Like nobody kind of talks about her. And I would not be surprised if she could come in and just take it. So
really?
She's She's somebody I think you need to watch out for. Yeah.
Vivian?
You got to get your husband to do the Tanya Harding tour.
No, we don't. We don't go that way.
We don't condone such
behavior. We don't condone that. No. Who knows? June is a long ways away. So, like, for me, I see these first two as my best shot of getting in, because who knows what can happen.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, the sport is just getting so competitive. There's just so many crazy times dropping. I'm a really big believer in horses, not courses. And like every time you show up to race, you didn't hold the world record last year, but you just came and beat the shit out of everybody. So like, that's the thing to focus on. And I think basically if you're anywhere near where you were at last world championships, it's going to be hell to pay competing against you.
It'll be fun.
I'm sure.
What's up, guys? Thank you so much for tuning in. So I know you love the media, but we are not a media company. We're actually a supplement company. So if you guys love working out, which I'm assuming you do because you're watching this video right now, you're going to want to have the right products to support the work that you're doing, guys. So scoop for scoop, rep for rep, race for race, guys, we have the products you're looking for. Whether you need hydration, strength, pre-workout, check out Builder Sports, and you guys are going to like what you find.
I got a quick question for you, Lauren. Like, obviously you have a kid now, so responsibilities have increased spreading those responsibilities between you and your husband. But like, when it comes to training, are you training at a box gym? Cause you said you love CrossFit. Do you have a gym set up at your house? And then how do you manage, like, the kids are running around or your child's running around and like, hey, mommy needs time to like lift right now. And maybe pick her up and do squats with it.
So I have a ton of equipment at the house, almost the full gym. So most of my training is done at the house, but I do have a gym membership, partially because I also want to see other people. Like, I don't want to just be in my own world always training. So like, that's part of it. Like, I'm going to go to the gym so I can see friends that I've made. And I do, when I go, like, I'll do sled workouts there because we don't do any sled workouts here at the house. So I would say 95% of my training is done home. And then it's working around, like, so my daughter's name is Lily. So it's working around Lily's schedule. So I'll try and get something done before she wakes up. If there's something I want to get done during the day, like, we have like almost a corral for her within the garage so I can keep her corralled in. So she's seen a lot of the workouts. She tries to mimic a lot of the things we do now. She, this past week, she learned how to make the assault runner move on its own. So she'll like hop up on there and try and run on that treadmill.
Yeah.
She actually does.
The runner part. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. She does better job than some adults I see. So I'm impressed.
True champion in the making.
Champion in the making. High Rocks Junior Division, we need it,
dude. That's two P's today. This is a lot of P for me. Okay, so you're going through the system. You're going to try to qualify. Obviously, like, you're going for gold again. I don't assume you're showing up just to have fun. Are there any other ambitions that you have this season? Are you like into this whole like hybrid scene, or are you just like, I'm a High Rocks athlete? That's my thing.
Depending on what pops up, if something pops up that looks fun to me, like, I will pivot and do it. I'm not just like sold on High Rocks. So like, if something came up, like what I was talking about, that has running and a little bit more skill work, I'd be in without a thought. I'm not out on Spartan either. Like, if they invite me to their world championships, I want to go.
You had a pretty successful run in that most recent championship in Utah, didn't you? Didn't you take like top three?
So it wasn't a championship. I won the Beast, but it was just like a normal, like, local race.
That one's in Soldier's Hollow or whatever it's called?
Ogden. I don't remember the.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It's very hard, dude. I do not miss doing Spartan races at all. It was like, High Rocks is so hard. I was like, do you ever race like the championship level worlds for Spartan race?
I want to. I made sure to get enough like qualifying points this year so that I could go if it fit in the schedule. So like,
but did you ever do the ones in like Tahoe or Vermont?
I did Tahoe a couple of years ago. It was like their North American championship.
That is a very hard race.
I actually thought Utah was harder.
Well, I don't know. I don't have a comparison. But the hardest thing I think I've ever done as far as an endurance race goes, like really you're racing rather than enduring, was the early Spartan Race World Championships in Vermont. It was fucked. Like it was just so crazy that you were running 15 plus miles across the terrain that they were making you do. And it was just so high heart rate the whole time. Your muscles are dying. You're just getting ripped up by barbed wire. Your ankles are rolling constantly. It's a real dogfight.
I know you were able to like get into some of like the bigger CrossFit comps too. So like I haven't given up like dreams of that either. So I still keep some like CrossFit skill work within my training so that if I wanted to, I could try and pivot. Have you heard of their Dubai championships?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to train for any of those things again, but like, it'd be really cool if we got some wild card spots. Like I think you'd be
That's a very fun wild card spot. So they, their championship this year, previously you could try and like win your way through an online competition to go. This year is invite only.
Mm-hmm. Is it going on soon?
It's the week after Sweden.
Okay. I'm going to DM them right now. They've already picked their people?
They already picked their people, but that's the thing. Like, if they were willing to, if they had, like, a dropout, I would love to go and do it. Like, we're already over there. And it's the Dubai one. So, like, it will have a lot of, like, CrossFit stuff, but versus Rogue, which has all that super heavy stuff, Dubai usually has more endurance events. But, yeah, they already sent out all their invites. They have all their people committed.
All right, I just DM'd them. Guy runs, his name's Saud. He's a freaking...
Did you DM that for me too? Lauren wants to go?
Yeah, Lauren's in too. All right, we're going.
All right.
I think, dude, like I hate to say this out loud because I really do love CrossFit, but I think their brand is pretty much dying, and I think they got to start doing some stuff for cross promotion and some patch up for some of the bad PR that they've had recently. And I think it'd be really cool. Oh, it's on scene. It's on scene. We're getting an update. Oh. Ooh, we've got the dots.
Yeah.
He said, sup. Hold on. We got the dots. Lauren who? Weeks. 3X. Higher Rocks.
We're already going to be over there.
World champ.
Oh. Huh?
We will smash your CrossFit turds. Turd friends.
If it helps, throw it in. I was 3-time regional athlete. Not games, but close enough.
Okay, I said it. We will smash your CrossFit turd friends. We got some smiley cry faces.
I would, if they like for some miracles allowed us to go, I would 100% do it. I don't care how smashed I got.
Okay, I'm saying put us in if you have a dropout or add an extra spot. Man, I like your 2000, to be honest. Dude, I'll fucking crush those guys. She will too.
Okay. Yeah, it's the weekend after.
We're in. We got right. The spot. Let's do this.
I talked to the right person.
What will I get in return? Do you want? No, I'm not going to say that. my love.
Cross branding. You'll get the High Rocks eyes on a CrossFit event.
You get the top High Rocks athlete, world champions, 6 world titles between the two.
The whole
showing up at your event with media.
Okay. VIP stuff. All right. Okay. This is good. I never thought about this, but I don't give a shit. I was like, I haven't done any Olympics.
You're willing to pivot too.
I don't want to do anything else, but dude, showing up and wrecking CrossFitters, nothing helps out. Dude, I'm just gonna say no one cares about the turds. No one cares about the athletes. You're athletes. Lineup is soft. So these guys really don't handle being dissed well. The Dubai culture does not handle being dissed well at all. So you have to understand who you're talking to. So right now I just said, no one cares about your lineup, your athletes, the lineup soft. And he'll take that to assault. He's like, no, that is not true. And
you're going for the throat.
He just threw gas in that fire.
He says they're top notch in Europe. I'm just going to say no one cares about Europe. Okay. Americans are the most important thing.
Give us a run and a swim.
Yeah.
We'll get a couple points.
We both know that.
I'll practice my muscle ups again.
All right. I'm going hard. I'm going hard. All right. We're going to set this up. Okay. I mean, this is also a curiosity. Like, why do you think the Americans are dominating the sport so much? Like, it is a European-based sport. It's a European-based sport, but, like, we're whooping the shit out of all of the world.
I've tried to think about that because we do have a lot of the top athletes being American, and I honestly can't come up with – I don't understand why.
Do you think it's their training approach? Like, I think if you look at myself and Ryan and then yourself and Meg, we hold more muscle than the other athletes. Like if you look at like Viola, you have a stronger build than she does. If you look at like Michaela, she's obviously taller and leaner. Megan's got this freaking jacked ass body too. Kent, I think, is probably the second biggest guy competing in the Elite 15 besides myself. Like, do you think that has something to do with it, or do you think it's just our style of training?
I do think there's a point in which you're strong enough, but I also think that there, like, you need a certain level of strength to be able to perform well. Like, mm-hmm. you can have strength to get through the sleds, but I think you need to have like a significant level of strength to be able to like move some of these sleds, like move the ergs well, but then also come off and still be able to run. But I don't understand why we would not see that also over in like some like European or Asian athletes.
I don't know. Cause I think Australia. they've got sick fitness. Like they're all pretty freaky people. Like Viola came over for a training camp not too long ago, and the stuff that she was doing, I was just like, wow, you are really like, you are, she literally was just behind the guy, other guys going up this like time trial that we did. Like she just was moving. I was like, geez, like this girl has no holes in her plan. Like, I don't know where you would have stood against her on all the workouts. Obviously you beat her in high rocks, but it was very impressive.
High rocks is a different sport. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I can do well in that and like bomb something else.
Is there something that goes on for you in high rocks that you think that like really makes you the best at it? Or is it just the fact that you just like had tons of years of just doing random shit and this all came together at the right time?
I think like from my background, like I've just been developed to be what you would consider like a grinder. And that's what this sport is. Like, you don't have to be the fastest to do well. You don't have to be the strongest to do well, but you do have to be able to grind. And I think that's where you see, like, the athletes that are doing well and excelling, like, they are also coming from, like, that similar ability that they can, like, just kind of put their head down and grind through it.
Hmm. Do you – I mean, like, you just went to that Rally in the Valley thing and you beat all the other girls in running, so obviously you're fast. How did you do in the lifting events? Did you beat Meg?
No. I think she out-squatted me by like 5 pounds. So our strength is probably very similar.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Not in all things. Like she could probably out-bench me by, I don't even know, probably like 70
You say bench?
Pounds. Yeah.
Bench is not right thing. Let's work on these pecs. Oh, I love bench. Don't even get me started. You know, I have to say I'm just overall impressed. I remember when I knew that you were a freak is when we did Spartan Games in
the first one,
Vermont, and we were doing the ultra run, and you passed
me. I remember running
me.
With you.
And then you ran away from me. And I was like, Lauren, like, you cannot change your position. Like, why are you doing it? You're like, I just can't stop. Like, I'm going to keep going. And I was like, what are you doing? And you left me in the dust. And I think you got more miles than me. I don't know, but it was.
I woke up that next morning broken, by the way.
Yeah. I literally was like, I'm letting go of this because there's so much else going on, but you just kept on going. I was like, what the fuck, man? She's a tank.
I couldn't turn it off. I don't know.
That weight vest run up the mountain was so brutal.
It was brutal. That was another one I was running with you for a while.
Yeah.
Did I get you? Until we dropped the vest and you were gone.
Yeah, baby.
I was actually incredibly impressed because I didn't realize like what running shape you were in at that point of the year. Like I didn't expect you to take off. I think you finished second in that event too.
I was only a minute and a half behind Atkins. I don't really like running that much, but if I'm a dog, I will hunt. It does not matter what field that we go into. Like I'm just gonna go hard. I really can say that you have impressed me across the board. And I'm not usually that impressed. I usually am like, okay, this person's interesting. But every single time I see you at a competition, you just seem to show up. And I remember talking about you with some people before World Championships last year. And I was like, yeah, I know you guys are doing this, that, and the other thing. But I was like, Lauren Weeks is still just a demon that you don't want to fight. It's just, she's in the depths of hell. It's going to cook you alive. And they're like, eh. And I watched you go out as if you were shot out of a cannon. You were running like so hard that it seemed like you were like splitting the air molecules in half. I was like, what the fuck is she doing? Like, running like that. And then you went on to obviously win. And it was impressive. Like I sat back and watched that thing. And I was like, damn. I'm lucky I'm not a chick.
Yeah, after the first couple stations, when you would get out on the track, you kept your distance the same speed, if not faster, and it was 30 seconds. And every you would pass, and then I was there on the one end, and then I'd count 30 seconds, and then second place would come through. And then you do your second lap, and then it was 30, 32, 33, and then you were still increasing pace, not letting anyone catch you there.
It was there was somebody on the side that was like really nice about it because I went alone to that event and there was like a spectator that was like giving me time gaps every time I like ran by. I was like, I don't know who's doing this, but that's really kind of you.
Is this Kyle?
What?
It may have been Kyle.
Did he have a very nice
black mustache?
I don't even remember. I just remember somebody was giving me like split times and I was like, I've never talked to you before, but thanks.
I miss Kyle. We got to get back on here.
He and his wife just had a baby. So he's been MIA as far as any type of contact.
Yeah. He's not going to sleep for a little bit. No sleeping.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on, giving us your time. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
I laughed the whole time.
I'll see you in Sweden.
Sweden it is. Predictions for Chicago?
Chicago.
Do you care about time? Do you care about placement?
I'm usually not too concerned about time. I definitely am like racing the competitors there. And then in terms of like prediction of placing, it does impact whether certain athletes show up or not. So like racing against Michaela is a different strategy than like I would have racing against like Vivian versus racing against Meg. So depending on, it looks like Michaela might not be coming. So I'm not sure quite how that will impact the race yet, but I can try and give you predictions for the guys. Who do we know that's going? You're not going, right? It'd
be a bad day for them if I showed up. Kent, I think, John Wynn's showing up, Kent, Ronkovich. I don't think Winish is racing. I think Sandbatch is coming. What are your thoughts?
I don't know what order. I would say Kent, Ronkovich, and Dylan Scott, I think will probably be.
The Hybrid Raccoon. Holy shit.
I don't know how he does what he does, but he pulls it off.
I've got my spot on John Wynn for first or second.
I hadn't really known too much about him until recently, to be honest.
Dangerous.
Big endurance athlete, it looks like.
Did you watch our show with him on it?
I did not, but I can.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's fun times. But no, don't worry about it. Yeah, he's going to be a weapon. We're going to do a live broadcast. We're going to get in like suits and ties and really do this thing right. And we're going to be doing the whole broadcast, and we're going to have an absolute blast here on Morning Road Radio, which we're going to rebrand, by the way, guys. We've got a whole new rebrand coming out. It's very exciting. You're going to be probably one of the last people to ever speak to Morning Road Radio. So
I think a rebrand is good. I think your title could be a turnoff to some females.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, like, we're not doing this for the chicks. It was honestly just for
that's half the population.
Yeah. I know, dude, but I love being me. Like, I've recognized at this point, like, there's nothing to be gained by trying to please other people. Like, I'm not offending other people going out of my way, but I really like, this is a for us thing, and we're having fun. And if girls don't like the fact that there's a title called Morningwood Radio, then you should go watch The View.
Hunter, listen to this stat, though. The previous record that we held for most viewers, live viewers on the show, was with the rower, or not the rower, with the skier Jason guy, Marshall. Yeah. Jason Marshall, at 76. Today, with Lauren as our guest host, we had up to 96 live viewers.
So ooh, we almost broke 100.
Almost.
If we have more female viewers, we may tip the scales to hit that 100 live person mark. So thank you.
I think it was probably all dudes. I'm just saying. Well, Lauren, you've been a spectacular morning to share with. And I want to thank you. And we really look forward to watching you in Chicago and the whole season. So thanks again.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. I'll get you data back on this thing about the Dubai Championships, and we'll run with it.
Yeah, I'm in if they allow it.
All right. I'll give you a shout out. Guys, have a great morning. If you're trying to see what we're doing, guys, if you're still watching the show, make sure you show up. We're running a live show the entire broadcast because we're going to do better than everybody else when it comes to broadcasting about High Rocks. We've got the information. We've got the content. We've got the team to make the magic happen. And if you guys are interested in anything that we've got going on, house training for anything to do with training, Lauren Weeks is probably actually a way better coach than I am because I'm not a great coach. I'm a great programmer. So if you guys are looking for probably one-on-one coaching, do you guys do that?
We take very limited. So
they're probably
like one spot available. Yeah.
One spot, but you could be that spot. And I think that's like, she's probably an amazing coach. So check that out. If you guys are looking for supplements, which Lauren will not touch these supplements.
She's not going to reintroduce them into her system.
We make the best in the business, guys. This comes from the heart and soul of a dude who absolutely loves to perform in his best. I only create the products to get the world records and also feel better with my day and better with my body. So if you guys are interested in any of that stuff, come check it out. Builder International, buildersports.com for the United States.
Speaking of that, if I just want to touch on it, because I know that there's messages in Builder Sports Instagram, and I know I'm getting emails. We just went through a quick transition from who is doing shipping. And so we have a new warehouse, the new company, they have all the product. I have to manually go through. Please be patient. I got them in my list. I'm going to go through them today. Check mark them that they have shipped out. They have. You just may not have gotten that confirmation email, which is what you're looking for. I am going to do that today. That's on the deck for today.
Yeah, Ryan's in the doghouse right now. We love you guys. Lauren, have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
See ya.
Thank you all. Okay. Bye. And we are out.